Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our CFT member teletown hall on COVID-19. I'm Lucia Smith, a secretary treasurer of CFT, and I'm here tonight with our CFT president, Jeff Freitas, and CFT executive director, Sarah Callahan. And joining us momentarily will be a very special guest, our state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Thurman. We had an event, the same event at 4:30, and we had, how many people, Jeff, joined us on that call?
We had over 6,000 members calling in at the 4:30, and I want to thank everybody that's joining us right now as we are dialing out. But, yeah, we had over 6,000 participants, 6,000 members on that last call, Lucia.
That was great. So we decided to convene this call to share some important news and updates about COVID-19 and to hear from all of you about how this crisis is affecting our schools, our jobs, our students, and our communities. We want to begin. We're going to share some critical information with you. Then we will provide an opportunity for you to ask questions live on the call. So if at any time you want to ask a question, what you will do is press 9, and you'll be connected to a CFT staff person who can help you ask your questions. And then once you've pressed 9 and spoken to the CFT staff person, please stay on the line because you might be chosen to speak live on the call and be able to ask your question.
And those people who have joined us right now, good evening, and we want to thank you for joining us during this time, situation. COVID-19 is a serious concern that the union is worried about, that your locals are worried about, that the American Federation of Teachers are worried about, and that CFT are worried about. So tonight we're having a town hall, and you're hearing this live. We are calling thousands of members at this time, and my name is Jeff Freitas. I'm the president of CFT. Lucia Smith is on the phone with us as well, the secretary treasurer of CFT, and Sarah Callahan will be talking a little later. She's the CFT executive director. We also have a special guest that will join us briefly, and that's the state superintendent, Tony Thurman, he's been providing a lot of work at the state level and providing direction, and we'll get to those details in a second. Lucia, do you want to let people know how they can ask a question when we get to that section?
Yeah, so we'll have a question, a live question period later in the call, and what you will need to do if you want to ask a question is press 9, and you'll be connected to a CFT staff person who can help you ask your question. Once you've pressed 9 and spoken to a CFT staff person, please stay on the line because you may be chosen to speak live on the call and ask your question. I think before we get started with the updates, I wanted to make sure to thank all of you for calling and joining the call. You know, again, we're doing a CFT member teletown hall call on COVID-19. We know that this is really important news and the updates about COVID-19. We want to hear from you about this crisis and how it's affecting our schools, our jobs, our students, and our communities. So we know all of you have been working tirelessly to not only take care of yourselves and your family, but to look out for your students as well. We're very appreciative of all that you're doing. We will continue to work hard alongside our leaders and you all to make sure that we can help protect your jobs, your pay, and to advocate for the students and families we serve. So now I'm going to turn it back to our CFT President, Jeff Freitas, to offer some opening remarks.
Thank you, Lucia, and thank you, everybody, for calling in tonight. My name is Jeff Freitas. I am the president of CFT, and we want to thank you again for joining us tonight. Joining us on this call, we are calling tens of thousands of the members to join us on this teletown hall. As Lucia stated, we know you're all busy juggling many responsibilities, both in your job, in your union, at home, and we know that the landscape that we have right now is not a normal day-to-day and it's consistently or constantly shifting. But I am grateful for this opportunity for us all to get together as a union this evening to share updates and insights, what we've been doing with you, with your local, and address some of your questions. We know there are a lot of questions and concerns around the situation of the COVID-19. First, I want to thank the many leaders and staff that are working hard to keep CFT up and running and helping the CFT local unions and members during this very challenging time. We always say that we are stronger together, and it has never been more true than it is now as we are facing this crisis, as schools are closing, as colleges are closing, and as we are trying to deal with the safety and the sanity of the situation. We at CFT have been in constant communication with your local leaders and staff, supporting them as they navigate fast-moving changes with your employers, providing guidance and receiving input. We are also actively listening and taking guidance from all of you as well, and that's why we're having this call tonight. In fact, the feedback that you have given us, either directly or through your local leaders, has been critical to the advocacy work that we are undertaking at the state, the local, and the federal levels. We'll go over a lot of this tonight, and please provide, even after tonight, continue to provide the feedback that we need from you through your local or to us directly. We have also been in constant contact with our national affiliate, the AFC, and we're working with them on issues that require federal attention. You know the COVID-19 pandemic is a crisis like we've never seen before. But in this time of crisis, we know the best way forward is to stand together and to fight for the things we know that really matter. This includes not only working to protect our members' jobs, pay, and benefits, but also to keep safe and provide for the needs of our students and our communities. And before we go to our special guest, Lucia, can you remind people how to connect to a CFT staff for a question?
Absolutely. So if you have a question that you'd like to ask on this call, remember you just need to press 9 and you will be connected to a CFT staff person who can help you ask your question.
And thank you everybody tonight for joining us. We are reaching out to all of our members, all of CFT members tonight. Tens of thousands of phone calls are going out. Many thousands of members are on the phone now. And without further ado, I would like to introduce a very special guest. Speaking of the work that we're doing at the state level and focusing on our students and our communities, I'd like to introduce someone who has been working tirelessly to help guide our schools through the COVID-19 crisis, providing not only important information but steady leadership at the state level. It's my pleasure to introduce to you the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Thurman. Thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for talking to our members tonight. Tony?
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you to everyone in the CFT family. It's an honor to have a chance to be on your call. You know, as Jeff pointed out, this is a worldwide crisis, and its impact in California is severe. And it is unlike anything that, you know, I can say I've ever seen. And while there are many questions, I am certain that if we stay together, we'll be stronger together, and that together we can rise up and that we can mount the challenges in front of us. In that respect, I appreciate the partnership with CFT, and I'm in regular contact with Jeff and other members of the CFT family, and the concerns that you all have bubbled up to your leadership reach me and others on a regular basis. I share them with the governor and the governor's staff, and they inform the way that we move and the way I move, because I want to make sure that we address your concerns. You all are the strength of our education system, and what you mean to our students and the families of our students, you know, is incredibly important. And we know that we have to answer lots of questions. We know that there are questions about how things are happening at school site levels, and we want to do all that we can to help resolve that. And I'm grateful that Jeff and others have been involved with our work to improve communication between local affiliates and local education leaders. We have a lot of work to do there, and we'll continue to do that. I do want you to know that there have been some developments at the state that are intended to help. On Friday, the governor announced an executive order that essentially guarantees funding for all of our K-12 schools, and that it would include any schools that have preschool programs. The funding essentially holds districts harmless on ADA, and so it creates a framework for school districts to be able to, those that are closed, to continue operating, but operating through a distance learning framework or to use independent study. And so 98% of our schools are closed, and today the Department of Education and others released guidance on how to provide education to students during the time that our schools are closed. And so the governor's executive order provided that flexibility on how we can do distance learning, and it also provided the funding. The legislature has also acted. They essentially passed legislation this week that guarantees ADA funding and provides the governor with up to $1 billion that can be used to address unforeseen, unexpected, emergency-type needs. And so there's a lot happening at the state level. Today we announced that we will be suspending state testing in K-12 education. We simply don't think that our students should have to take a test under the conditions that we are currently facing. And we don't think that if we could even get students in the position to take a test that we could expect a good outcome to result given the circumstances. And so my office will be working to formalize a waiver. We'll be working with the State Board of Education. I've been in touch with the Federal Department of Education to move on how we can move from the suspension to permanently canceling any testing requirements for the state this year. And so I'll leave it there with those highlights. Just know that we know there are many questions that still need to be answered. We know that there are difficult moments at the site levels, at the school site levels, and we're committed to working with all of you and your leaders to find answers to those questions and just ask that we can all work together to get there. When you have concerns, you know, continue to bubble them up to your leadership. They're in direct contact with me and others, and we look forward to doing all we can to help California students, families, our great workforce, and I appreciate each and every one of you and wishing you a good evening.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for having an open door to the voices of all the members that are on the phone. The work and leadership is invaluable at this time that you've been leading, and we thank you for many of the things, especially in this particular crisis, for doing the work that you do. So thank you. Have a good evening. We know you have many things to deal with right now, and we're going to continue with our phone call with our members. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Jeff, and thank you so much, Tony, for taking some time out of your day to talk to our members. As a reminder to all of you that are listening, if at any time you want to ask a question, press 9 and you'll be connected to a CFT staff person who can help you ask your question. As you know, one of our primary objectives over the last couple of weeks has been to work with our elected officials at the state level to make sure that school closures are handled responsibly and that our members continue to receive the pay and benefits that they're all entitled to. We just heard from State Superintendent Tony Thurman. Now I'll turn it back over to Jeff to talk about the work we've been doing at the state level. But before I do that, I also want to remind you that we have put all of this information, including state and legislative updates, on our website at cft.org. There's already many resources on our website, so please check that regularly because we will provide updates as they happen. cft.org is our website. I also want to let you know that we have other social media outlets. We have a Facebook page, we have Twitter and Instagram, and our handle is @CFTUnion. So, Jeff, can you talk a little bit about our work and give us some updates on the latest developments?
Thank you, Lakia. And just to remind everybody, thank you for calling in tonight. And that is Lakia Smith, the Secretary Treasurer of CFT. I'm Jeff Freitas, the president of CFT, and it's taken some time to call 57,000 phone numbers, and we've got thousands of members on the phone. So just wanted to repeat, this call is about our response, our work, and our support around the COVID-19 situation in the state as well as the nation. So I want to thank all the leaders and the members who have given us ideas, who have brought concerns and questions to our attention. This information has been invaluable in our actions and responses with various agencies, leaders, and employers. And it is the work that we do together that we will get through this. The strength together is so important. The work that we're doing together is so important, and it's not just one person or one group that is doing all of this work. At the state level, we have been reaching out and working with the governor's office, the state superintendent's office, as you heard, the state board, the chancellor's office for the community colleges, as well as other labor unions to help direct the response. As you heard from Tony Thurman, our state superintendent, the governor did have an executive order last Friday. We pushed to get the requirements to allow the school districts to be able to close without the county offices, because many county offices were preventing school districts from closing when the schools and the teachers and the classified were asking for those closures. There were also agencies. So the executive order allowed school districts to be unharmed financially to make those decisions unilaterally, even when the county offices or the local agencies were not supported for those closures. As we've seen now, and the governor has announced 98.8% of all schools have closed. The reason not all schools are closed in the state is because many of our school districts in the state are in very remote areas with few resources for the students, and that's why it was important for the local communities to make those decisions. With that executive order, there were four recommendations, as Tony talked about real quick: ongoing education, ongoing meals for the students, ongoing child care support and supervision, especially for those families where the parent needs to be continuing other vital services, essential services, the healthcare industry and transportation industry and other areas. And the fourth recommendation, which was a push by many of us, including CFT, was ongoing pay. So as long as the school districts are receiving the funds that they would be promised for the school year, and the ADA was based on the previous portion of the year, the employees, whether they are salary or hourly, should be continued to get paid. There has been further guidance. You can look on the CDE website for remote learning. Many examples guidance for local school districts as well as teachers in remote learning. Some of that includes on how to provide remote learning for special ed students. There's guidance for school meals on how school districts can continue to provide safe healthy school meals during this crisis and during these school closures, and child care and student supervision. The guidance on the website is also trying to provide the best way to provide these, not changing the students' community environment, the regular students that they associate with it, keeping it small, the safety and health environment that needs to be kept, and the other guidance that are provided to local schools and early childhood centers. As we continue to meet, and we are continuing to meet with the various organizations on the guidelines with the labor issues that we need to be dealing with, so the locals are working with your local unions and working with the members to make sure they are listening to your needs and the importance of providing a safe environment, the importance of providing a consistent resource, whether you are able or not, that your pay is not cut, that your benefits are not cut, and that we continue to provide a stable environment for all the employees in the communities that we have to support. There was recent legislation, as Tony mentioned earlier, just real quickly, the ADA is supposed to be calculated for school districts, is through the beginning of the year through February, so no attendance will affect ADA from from March 1st on forward. But, you know, they're asking the guidance is to continue to take enrollment for your own purpose and grading. There's $100 million that is being provided to school districts to purchase the personal protective equipment that needs to be provided for our personnel that are cleaning our schools and that are having to go back to the schools to make sure that the school sites are safe for any essential work that is required to happen back on the school sites without the students present. So that is a major work that we've pushed at the state level, and this was just passed and signed in the last couple of days. There's ongoing support for early childhood and child care support. The California State Preschool, General Child Care, CalWORKs, and alternative payment programs for the continuing attendance for these childhood child care supports and student supervision for those people that don't have alternatives and need to continue to work. And finally, $500 million to up to $1 billion to help local businesses, nonprofits, and small businesses to work their way through this COVID-19 crisis. And it is so important that we have been working in Sacramento. We have been working on these issues together with your voice, with your concerns, and with the local leadership and local rank and file. With that, Lucia, can you remind people how to ask a question, and maybe we can go to our first poll.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Again, this is Lucia Smith, Secretary Treasurer of CFT, classified employee from El Camino Community College. I know we just got a lot of information from Jeff, so if you want to ask a question, please press 9. And a CFT staff person will help you with that. Before we move on to our Executive Director, Sarah Callahan's update, we want to do a quick poll. So I'm going to ask you a question, and your response will be pressing number 1, 2, or 3 on your phone's keypad, and we will share the results later in the call. So the question we'd like you to respond to is this. Have you received sufficient guidance and instruction from your district regarding your duties and responsibilities during a school closure? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, 3 if you don't know or aren't sure. Okay. So let me repeat the question. Have you received sufficient guidance and instruction from your district regarding your duties and responsibilities during the school closure? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no, 3 if you don't know or aren't sure. Okay? So now I'm going to turn it over to our CFT Executive Director, Sarah Callahan, to give us an update on CFT operations and support during this critical time. Sarah?
Thank you, Lucia. As Jeff and Lucia have both stated, our commitment right now remains to supporting our CFT locals and our members. We want to continue to hear your concerns and your questions, and I want to share with everyone the services and supports that CFT has made available to your local unions as we weather this storm together. First off, I'd like to say that if you have very specific questions that we don't get to on this call, that you please contact your local union leadership and your staff right away. Our staff and organizers are in constant contact with your local leaders and not only provide updates at the state level, but also to support your members on the ground in your local unions. In fact, I want to reiterate that this is a two-way conversation and communications channel that's essential during this time of crisis. It enables us to effectively represent our members and fight for our students and our communities in the best way that we can. I'd also like to encourage you to go regularly to cft.org while we will continually update essential information and resources as they become available. As I'm sure you know, CFT offices are currently closed, but all of the staff are continuing to work from home. You should continue to reach out to any staff you regularly work with via phone or email, but we have asked that CFT staff not plan to travel to locals or other meetings at this time. Our office closures also mean that we can't offer our offices as meeting sites for the time being. ASD staff are also telecommuting based in DC, including all the regional and national office staff, as well as our project organizers here in California. We are supporting our members by offering guidance and resources to bargain over the impact of school closures. Our highest priorities are to maintain pay and benefits for all of our members and ensuring the health and safety of our members, students, and the public. We have been offering legal support so that our staff can help interpret local, state, and federal law in what we know is an ever-changing landscape. Additional legal support is being provided in specific places or where schools or college districts refuse to follow the guidelines set out by state and local officials. We are also working to increase our infrastructure capacity to offer services like Zoom and other teleconferencing solutions to our local unions who have that need. All of this support will continue, and we will expand it as other needs become apparent. I just wanted to take a brief moment to shout out to our local union officers and staff who are also working as hard as they can to address this crisis. Your work has been essential to ensure that our CFT staff members are safe and that their pay and benefits protected. I know that you're all doing this, but to name just a few of the locals that have reported out some fantastic work, the Peralta Federation in Oakland, United Professors of Marin, City College of San Francisco, and others have been able to work quickly with their administrations to keep classes going while complying with sudden shelter-in-place orders, while making sure that their members maintain their pay during the closure. The Berkeley Federation of Teachers, the Berkeley Council of Classified Employees, the Carpinteria Association of School Employees, and more have worked very quickly to reach agreements with their districts. Their districts also ensure that both certificated and classified members are paid through closures, keeping student instruction going and prioritizing measures to keep our members and students safe. Please continue to work through your local and let us know what issues might not be on our radar yet or for which you need CFT's assistance. Know that all of us are here and working hard to provide as much support as we can to you and to your students through this incredibly challenging time. Back to you, Lucia.
Thank you, Sarah. As a reminder to everybody, please, if you have a question, press 9, and our CFT staff will help you. We've had one more. We have one more brief update to provide. And before we move into taking questions, I would like Jeff to share with us any updates from our national affiliate, the AFT, in terms of steps they are taking in the midst of this crisis. So again, if you have a question, before I pass it all the way to Jeff, if you have a question that you want about any of the things that have been spoken tonight, press 9 and the CFT staff will assist you. Jeff?
Thank you, Lucia. Just before I get back to the national that you pointed out, I want to point out the information that Sarah said about our communication with our locals and with you, the members, and some of the recent governor's announcements. First of all, the governor, as Tony Thurmond said, has requested a waiver from the federal government on waiving all state testing in the state, and there will be more guidance coming. He also announced last night, you may have heard or not, that his expectation, not an order, but just his expectation is that the schools will not be opening through the end of the school year. And I know there are some questions out there whether that's going to happen or not. But there's an expectation from what he has seen. The community college, we have been working with the chancellor's office. He has recommended all community colleges go online. As far as I know, there are a couple colleges that may still be open, but he is recommending all of them go online. And he is working on the instructional hour question that many of you have or have had. The concerns are not coming from the state. The state funding will continue, but their concerns are coming from the federal student aid regulations, accreditation issues. And I know the chancellor is working on those things. I know the governor is working on those things. And we will continue to push because that's what you have been saying. Also, the state chancellor is going to have a webinar on Friday and provide more input and guidance from the chancellor's office. At the national level, we have been working regularly, been in regular communications with AFT. First, our national union, the AFT, American Federation of Teachers, has been hard at work to assemble materials and resources for members affected by COVID-19. We are lucky to be a part of a union that represents healthcare workers. In fact, it is the second largest healthcare workers union in the nation, as well as they represent education workers. So we truly have some of the best expertise to help deal with our responses to this crisis. And this is where members are helping members. It is the expertise of you, the members, helping other members. And I encourage you to go to AFT.org/coronavirus to check out the materials that they have made available online. In addition to bulletins about schools and workplace safety, I'd like to also remind you about the AFT's excellent Share My Lesson platform. Again, this is where members are helping members, where educators can share lesson plans and get lesson plans and ideas. As more teachers have to come to move to online teaching as a necessity, it is a great resource to consider to help you learn from other educators what how to make those adjustments quickly, as we are trying to quickly adjust to most of our education being moved online. AFT is also working swiftly to pass the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, proposed by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. This legislation contains crucial funding to fight the spread of COVID-19 and to help ensure that our economy, our working people, and their families are protected during this health crisis. It includes emergency paid family leave, sick leave, free coronavirus testing, provisions to protect frontline healthcare workers, food assistance for seniors and vulnerable children and families, and additional funding to states for the ongoing economic consequences of the pandemic. This bill, combined with the initial $8.3 billion in emergency funding to fight the coronavirus, is the start of what is needed. And this is our fight for the common good. These are issues that the AFT, that the members of the CFT are all fighting for to support not only our conditions, working conditions, but our students and families and communities' living conditions. Passage of this bill will require bipartisan effort, and there may be calls to reach out to your representatives at this legislation as this legislation moves to Congress. AFT President Randy Weingarten is also working closely, and you may have been on the National Town Hall just a few days ago, but she's working closely with labor leaders and the AFL-CIO to make sure that any stimulus dollars that are approved, that the majority goes to people and families who need support and not just used to bail out our big corporations. AFT is currently advocating for an even larger $1.5 trillion stimulus package, which would include $100 billion for our schools, our communities, and our universities, as we need to provide safe environments for our students if and when we can return back to them, as well as the current situation in terms of changing and providing a different educational environment. We will work together with AFT to keep you updated about any developments at a federal level, especially regarding opportunities for member engagement. What is important is that we provide the most stability with our collective work and action during this most unstable time. We are in these roles as educators and school employees because we care, and let's not forget that. So right now, I want to turn it back to Lakia, and before we get to questions, I think she wants to present the results of the poll. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Sarah, for those valuable updates. So we have, as of now, we have 1,167 people have responded to our poll. What we have is 526 yes. Well, let me remind you of the question. Let me remind you of the question as I get my piece of paper. So the question was, have you received sufficient guidance and instruction from your district regarding your duties and responsibilities during a school closure? So 526 people said yes. 389 people said no, and 252 people said, I don't know. So that's about 45% of our people have gotten good guidance. The other, so it's, you know, it's less than half. So more than half of our people on this call that have responded to this have not gotten either got no answer or has an I don't know which I feel to me is kind of a no answer. No. Right, Jeff?
Yes. So we will make sure that this information gets back to your local leadership to make sure that they know they need to reach out to the schools and colleges and employers that you, the members, the people working in these facilities are not getting the proper guidance and information that you need to be safe and healthy in this environment and crisis. So thank you for replying to that. And just to note, we have called tens of thousands of people tonight. We've had over 10,000 members on the call tonight. We want to thank you during this busy time and unknown time, thank you for joining us and providing your input and your support. Only together will we be able to solve to get past this crisis, and we will get past this crisis. But I think Lucia has a few questions keyed up from individuals.
Yes, I do. So before we get to the first question, I just want to remind everybody, if you want to ask a question on the call, please press 9, and then one of our CFT staff will help you. Okay? So here we go. Our first question is from Jennifer Ho, H-O-W-E, how, from Newport Mesa Federation of Teachers, and she has a question about STIRS. Jennifer?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay.
Yes, hi, Jennifer. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Sorry about that. I appreciate the efforts you're doing to make sure that we get paid and our benefits stay intact, but I was curious as to if the governor is correct and we're not going to be working potentially to the end of the year, how does that affect our retirement accounts?
So thank you for this question. And those are that's the benefits that we're talking about that should not be harmed. We've initially focused on the guidance on what to do with the school closures. And again, when I say school closures, a lot of the recommendations from the governor is to continue the education. So with that in mind, we will be pushing to see if we need to clarify anything for STIRS, that this is a normal period of time. And what I mean by that is that in terms of credit service, that no one should be harmed because the school had to close for instructional time during this period of time. So we will find out shortly if we need to pass legislation or there can be an executive order or if STIRS can just waive any particular limit minimum. But there should be, and we'll fight. And that's a great question. We will push to make sure that there is no harm to anybody's service credit because of the shorter school year based upon this particular situation. So thank you for bringing that forward.
Yeah, thank you. So our next question is from Lisa Kamibayashi from LA Community College District, and her question is about the faculty who are teaching in a clinical setting. Lisa?
Hi. Hello?
Hello? Hi, thank you for joining us, Lisa.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for having us doing this. So I'm the director of dental hygiene program. And so dental hygiene or any other allied healthcare ECT program requires clinical instruction, which we have to directly work with patients. And at this point, I can suspect the extension of not going to clinic will be longer. So for the adjunct faculty who are only teaching at the clinical site, they would not be able to work at all. And how are you going to protect their pay and how you arrange any kind of a compensation or coverage for their non-paid period?
Lisa, thank you for that question. And that is very much the point of the executive order that the governor has put out. Now, the executive order that he put out was specifically K-12, but it did say to continue to pay employees. And that is what we are working on at the community college and higher ed level, that the funding not be affected, that in community college it's based upon FTEF, and that's the census state, that already be set before this crisis hit our schools. And when that were to stop, that the pay not stop with it. that there is an understanding that their class, that particular type of class, cannot continue, and for those particular credentials, but the individuals that were teaching those class continue. As a full-time faculty, there's a salary that's expected, and that can't change, but the issue is about part-time salary or hourly employees. They should still continue. We are providing them much resource. We've been communicating with the local leaders to make sure that they get in with administrators immediately to ensure that your type of employment is not affected in terms of pay and benefits, and that continues regardless whether you can safely provide the teaching services that you were hired to provide. Again, the funding is continuous, so we are saying the pay should be continuous. That is for the rest of this school year. The question is in the fall and whether the class will be offered in the fall, and I think that's a whole different scenario that we're not aware of at this time. Thank you for your question, and thank you for bringing that forward.
Great, thank you. So our next question is from Geraldine Tuck from United Educators San Francisco, and she has a question on special ed. Geraldine?
Hi, I'm a special education service provider, speech therapist, but I think this applies to anyone working in special ed. I was wondering, since general education students right now are not receiving services, does that mean that we owe our special education student services currently, and do we have to do makeup therapy? Thank you.
Thank you, Geraldine. Thank you for calling in. The previous call had a special ed question. I think some of the biggest questions in terms of ongoing education is around special ed, and this is so important. Right now, there is a guideline that was put out on Saturday, last Saturday. Things are moving quickly, and we think it's outdated, but last Saturday, the CDE put out a guidance for special ed. Basically, it was spelling out what current law is. We are asking at the national level and at the state level to provide some waivers for these. We know that there are certain techniques, certain ways to teach special ed that cannot be done online, that we don't either have the resources currently or the procedure to provide these special ed classes online or assistance online. So we're trying to secure either more waivers, change the law, and provide more guidance. So the other thing is that the CDE and the governor's office is still putting together a clearer guidance based upon the school closures last Saturday. It wasn't every school. It's almost every school at this point. And again, that was just 4 days ago. You should expect more guidance to be coming out from both the CDE and the governor's office to clarify this, if not, what direction they're going in trying to get the waivers. As you know, a lot of these requirements for special ed are at the federal level, and I think the state is working with the federal level to provide some waivers like they did with the state testing. And we are, AFT, American Federation of Teachers, is working with the Department of Education to try to not only clarify, but to probably reduce what you're speaking to, the IEP deadlines, the requirements in the IEPs, the requirements in those laws in terms of providing the hours and those trainings. So thank you for that question. Again, this emphasizes the need that we need to get more clarification, more guidance at the state level, and push on the federal level.
Great. Thank you. So our next question comes from Kelsey Iino from El Camino College, and she has a student-centered funding question. Kelsey?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi, Kelsey. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Ooh.
Yes.
Cool. Hi. Thank you for all you're doing. My question is, I work at El Camino Community College, and, you know, I know that the governor is giving kind of a funding forgiveness for the K-12 system, and I was wondering if that's going to then be also offered to, you know, the community colleges as well as the public universities. Because our college is still open, and I mean, classes have been moved to online, but, you know, our campus is still open, and I think part of the reason why is because our administration is concerned about the funding ramifications.
So thank you for the question, Kelsey, and that is clarification that we are trying to secure. The issue with the community colleges is not only the state, and I think if they had unilateral authority, they would declare the same executive order for community colleges and universities as they can with K-12. But the other issues are the student, they're trying to get waivers from the federal government in terms of student support, student aid, financial aid, because most of that is based on federal law and it comes from federal grants, as well as accreditation. Again, this has been quickly moving. The demand from the unions and your local leaders should be that people are working remotely if they do not feel that the sites are safe, and or providing and ensuring that you have safe sites to work at. There are different ways to do that. One is to make sure these campuses are absolutely closed for a period of time, maybe a week if needed, that the cleaning supplies and the people that are provided in cleaning have the proper gear to be able to do that. But to answer your specific question, is the state is working on that. We're trying to ensure that there will not be any reduction in FTEF or the funding to our community colleges, but they have not declared that at this time because of the other outside forces that they are working with. So we should have a very clear picture by Friday when the state chancellor has his webinar, that will be Friday sometime. I don't have the time at this moment in time. I don't know what time that will be. But we are pushing to make sure that the funding continues at the local level, and that if these classes need to be shortened, reduced in time, or canceled completely, that the funding continues so the employees can continue to be paid and that the services can continue to be provided for the students in the community. So thank you for that question.
Thank you, Kelsey. Our next question, it comes from Cecilia Chavez from Turlock, and she has a question about classified who need to stay home and a pay portion. So, Cecilia?
Hello. Can you hear me? Hi. Can you hear me? Okay. What's happening is that our school district is still insisting on our employees, even the pared-down employees, that if they stay home because they feel unsafe or need to care for their children, whether or not the district is going to provide child care, which kind of defeats the purpose of sending children home, that they will be deemed their sick leave. They will be taken from them. And our, you know, we about it today. We want to know, what can be done about correcting that?
Did we lose Jeff?
Sorry. I was talking and I was muted, so I apologize. So Cecilia, thank you for calling. That is a major concern for us. That is information that we have been sharing and pushing on the governor to provide more guidance, on Tony Thurman to provide more guidance. We do have a meeting tomorrow with the CDE's office as well as the governor's office to get more guidance on the labor issues such as you're dealing with. The information that we pushed out through our through the local leaders like you on the Google folder are templates to demand that no one be harmed. If they need to stay home, that their sick, their benefits and their pay are not harmed. They do not reduce sick leave. So that's a demand right now at the local level, but we are providing guidance. The law does allow school districts to provide more sick leave than the minimum that's in the Ed Code, so they can forgive these moments where they stay home. They should also be providing alternative work methods so that if they have to work remotely from home. We know there are some essential jobs that can't be done, Cleaning the schools, providing meals to the students is not something that can be done remotely. It has to be done at the school sites, or providing child care in certain ways. But at that point, that's where we are working with the members and the local unions to ensure that we are making sure that there are safe spaces. And they just passed $100 million for the state to ensure that we have the personal protection equipment to be able to properly clean the environment. So if people do need to come in for these essential services, that it's a safe and clean environment. So thank you very much for that. That is something that is front and center in terms of our issues that we're working with the state. Thank you. Lucia, do we have another question?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute too. Thank you, Cecilia, for that question. Our next question comes from David Roberts from Jefferson High, and he has a question about substitute teachers. David?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hi, David. Thank you for calling tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, David. You're live.
Okay, my question is, I am a substitute teacher, and I am wondering, I work every day in the high school district, Jefferson Union High School District, and I'm wondering if there's any compensation for subs.
So, David, this is what we've been working on, and we're trying to secure those guidance at the state level, and thank you for the question. We've also given instructions, the templates and the example MOUs to our local leaders, that substitute pay should continue if there was a normal, like you said, you were daily, and so that was an expected cost of the district. They are not losing any funding during this period of time. And so that normal cost of business, that's how it's put, in terms of substitute pay, should continue. If that is not something that it can be negotiated at the local level, again, we're trying to provide guidance so that the state is telling school districts to continue that regular pay out to subs. But if that is something that can't be negotiated or there's delay tactics by administration, the governor has eliminated the waiting time for unemployment. I know the unemployment process is not what you want to hear. So that's why together, as we come together and then we're working with your local, it says Jefferson Union High School District, Monica Casey will make sure that she has the information, that it is something that we can demand with the districts that substitutes continue to get paid during this period of time through their what they were normally getting. You know, they could do an average and calculate that out forward, but there should be ongoing pay and benefits for all employees, both salary, hourly, and temporary. So thank you for that question and joining us tonight as well.
Great. Thank you, David, for that question. Our next question comes from Jamie Tepper from UTLA, and they're asking about next school year.
Yes, Laura, can you hear me?
Jamie or Jaime? Jaime, yes.
Oh, it's Jamie.
Jamie.
It's actually Jamie.
Okay.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, cool. First of all, thank you guys very much for doing this. I'm learning a lot tonight that I didn't know. And my question is about continuity into next school year. Essentially, I follow what's going on fairly closely, and the numbers that I've been hearing in terms of getting a vaccine together is about 12 to 18 months. And I've also heard that basically, it's going to come back in the wintertime. And so whatever, I know that no one knows anything, but according to some pretty educated people, beyond my pay grade anyway, this is not necessarily something that's going to end this school year. And I was wondering if this was a plan to continue to, provide this kind of funding, or are there reduction in forces being planned, or is that even something that anyone is considering at this point?
Thank you for that question. And most individuals at the state level right now are just talking about the here and now, how to transition into mostly remote learning, and how to deal with the current school year. I know shortly, and while I don't have an answer for you, your question is so important because we do need to think about next school year. We also need to be thinking about the state budget and what's going to be happening. So now is the time in which the state does their budget. It gets adopted in June. It's supposed to be signed by July 1st. I expect the timeline will not change. But the question is how will this change what they were projecting for schools? There is no answer to that at this moment. The same information that you have, I've also heard in terms of a vaccine or inoculating. I think right now, I wouldn't want to answer what the prediction is, but I can tell you that we would be pushing for as much funding as possible. In many communities, the school districts are the largest employers. The schools and colleges are the largest employers. And reducing that funding also creates a double down and larger effect on the economic viability of those communities. And I know there are options in terms of providing more revenue for the state. We have put something on the ballot that is one option that they can pass at the state level. So we will be working at, with you, with the members, with the local leaders to make sure there's as much funding as possible. Again, that's the funding that AFT is pushing for because they know this is a long-term effect that we're looking at. This is a pandemic crisis that we haven't experienced in the past, and we will get this through this together, but we have to be pushing together to make sure that the harm is limited and the effects of this crisis is limited. So thank you for that question, does give us a clear picture on how to proceed forward. So thank you, Jamie.
Yes, thank you, Jamie. Our next question is from Cynthia Flores, and she has a question, a UC question. Cynthia?
Yes, hi. I work at the University of California in Riverside, and I just haven't heard anything at all about how any of this will affect the UC system. And I wish you would address that. I feel that my leadership has done a great job on that campus, and I'm really proud of them. But I'd also like to share, if anything, that you have any news about that.
So thank you. Thank you very much. And I know a lot's been going on at the UC level. I know you guys are I didn't know if you said you were a lecturer or a librarian, but we represent both in the UC cell level. Me and MacGyver is doing an amazing job, as well as that whole team, in terms of trying to get as much information out to everybody. When I speak to higher ed, we are pushing for the funding to continue no matter what. I can't speak to the accreditation level that they are dealing with at the UC level, but the budget for the UC is not cut. The funds for the UC system have not been cut for the year, so everything should be status quo. That is something that I will work with Mia to make sure that we can put out more definite information. But I think at the community college level, what they've been dealing with, they're dealing with the same at the UC level. And I know many of the colleges, if not all of the universities, have gone online, and that has been at the direction. There is a website that can be accessed for the most latest guidance on higher education. It's covid19.ca.gov/education. Again, that is covid19.ca.gov/education, and there is some guidance there for higher education for all three levels of public higher education, in the UC, the CSU, and the CCC, there is more guidance that will be coming out. And again, we collectively will be fighting and pushing for the funding to continue and that no one is harmed through this school year. We will continue to fight that the budget is has little change going into the next school year as well, because we know how important it is not only to you, the members, but also to the students and to the communities that you serve and live and work in. So thank you, and I hope that helps, that reference to the website. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Thank you, Cynthia. And unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time for our question and answers, but please don't hang up because we have one more ask of all of you who are on the phone. Thank you to all the people who pressed 9 and asked a question. But before we go, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight and for all of your thoughtful questions. If you stay on the phone when the call ends, you will be able to leave a message, and so we're encouraging that. I'd also like to encourage once again to please keep checking cft.org for updates. And we also remember we have a Facebook page, we have Twitter, we have Instagram, and our handle is @CFTUnion. And I'd like to encourage people to go to all of our social media sites for information. You know, as we end, we, your CFT leadership and staff, recognize how scary and stressful all of this is. We're having to make choices with information that changes daily, sometimes hourly. To quote Nelson Mandela, may your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears, right? We'd like to end this on a positive note. So at the end of this call, you'll have an opportunity to leave a message. So when this call ends, you will have the opportunity to leave a message. And if you're willing, please leave a message and tell us something you're grateful for right now or something you are hoping for. We'd like to compile these and share them on our social media places to give people a boost in the coming days. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us, and have a great night and be safe out there.
Thank you, everybody. Take care.